Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. I'd like to call the meeting to order at, maybe an official time? 1:04. Thank you for being flexible. So we changed it because of the July 4th holiday. They had to reschedule those meetings from Tuesday, so they asked if we were flexible, and Chelsea reached out, and it looks like it worked out, so kind of nice, right? So I will call the July 6th meeting of the Law Enforcement and Public Safety Committee to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Chair Gina Hansett?
Present.
Deputy Chair Christopher Hewitt?
Here.
Legislator Tricia Bowen? Legislator Dean Fabiano?
Here.
Legislator Abe Uchitel?
Here.
And Chair Tracy Bartels?
Here.
Okay, can we say the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Chair Bartels, will you?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. So, approval of the May 4th, 2023 meeting minutes. Is there any discussion on the minutes of the May 4th meeting? Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the May 4th meeting?
I move it to approve them.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, minutes are approved 5-0. Okay, we're going to get right into the resolutions. So, resolution number 299. Amending the 2023 Ulster County budget, authorizing payment of retroactive COVID pay, Ulster County. So before I open the floor for discussion, please note there are amendments before you for consideration. So ARPA funding was used for the initial COVID pay, and the sponsors have asked that ARPA funding be used for this as well. So is there a motion to approve the amendments as presented?
Where are the amendments? 387? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. 299.
May I?
Yes.
This amendment came from the sponsors or from the like the executive branch?
I think from, I'm not sure.
Like either the sheriff's office or payroll or something.
Let me just look through here quick. I think it might have actually come from like legal counsel that it initially was in ARPA, and I think that's where it came from.
Right, okay, so that's what we were waiting for?
Right. Yeah, can we, I mean, I would want to confirm that, first of all, and second of all, the other issue is why would we use ARPA funds for it? We can just use regular funds. We have an excess amount of funds. We have fund balance. Why would we use ARPA funds? ARPA funds, we have the ability to spend ARPA funds on things that we could not otherwise spend them on.
Mm-hmm.
We have latitude with ARPA funds that we do not have with regular general funds. So I don't understand why we restrict the use of more ARPA funds. And yeah. I also would want to talk to the
I didn't hear from either one of the sponsors, so.
Yeah. I would want to hear from the sponsors. I would want Deputy Majority Leader Uchitel's question answered, whether or not it was from the exec side of the house, and maybe we could get that answered from the exec side of the house, but or whether it was from the sponsors. But even more importantly, I would have to really be convinced that it was worth spending ARPA funds on it, because I'm actually at the point where I think, and in the ARPA committee we've discussed the possibility of recategorizing ARPA spend as non-ARPA spend in order to free up ARPA funds in order to be able to spend on things we couldn't otherwise spend. So,
yeah.
So using more of ARPA funds right now on something we definitely don't have to, makes no sense to me. It would be a heavy lift.
So what I'm going to do is reach out to the sponsors to come next month, and to also we'll get those questions answered. Unfortunately, I don't know. Do you have any input on that?
I don't know. I'm asking now.
Yeah.
Deputy
said Kelly couldn't make it, he would be able to answer that. So.
So we. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I do. I'm comfortable with a postponement if that's what.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I do. I am curious, and perhaps actually, since Sheriff Figueroa is here, I would like to kind of hear about the urgency of this. I feel bad postponing something relating to employee pay.
Right. It's been a while.
And so I don't know if, you know, how the sense of urgency should factor in here, because we haven't really heard from the whether it's the sheriff's, you know, the union. Or from the sheriff's office on this, just from the sponsors who haven't been able to, you know, who aren't here right now. So I feel a little bit like we're, you know, my reasons for wanting to move forward with it and my reasons for wanting to not move forward with it are both very much in a vacuum right now, which I'm not super comfortable with.
Should we ask the sheriff that if he could answer that? I know he just walked in.
So I'm sorry I'm late. I couldn't find a parking spot.
You can't just park.
You're going to get a ticket?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to park it. I don't park it. It's all I need. Somebody's taking a picture of me.
Yeah, right?
So I believe you're talking about the COVID pay?
Yep.
So okay, I was part of the contract negotiations as a signer of the contract with the county and the union on this. And what it was is how they calculated the COVID payments for each individual that worked through the pandemic. Just want everybody to know that the folks at the corrections division, most of the members of the sheriff's office, didn't have an opportunity to work from home. They had to work through the pandemic in a facility that even if the flu hits in the jail, it spreads like wildfire. And although it wasn't specifically delineated in the contract, the county said the way they computed it was wrong. I disagree with the county. I agree with the union that it wasn't stated specifically. The 15 minutes that we're talking about is the 15 minutes that you walk in. It's called lineup. What that 15 minutes is, and that's straight time, mind you, it's not overtime. And the contract says any overtime won't be computed toward the COVID pay. But that's not overtime, it's straight pay. Because that 15 minutes is the briefing that you get to let you know what's going on in the facility that day, or any rules or policies that need to be talked about because something happened in the facility. And that was the gist of the argument, was that 15 minutes considered overtime or special pay or straight pay? It's straight pay because they're not getting paid overtime for that rate. And that should have been calculated in the COVID payment for the purposes of hours. So a certain amount of hours gave you a certain amount of money. And that's what this was about. The county decided not to pursue this in arbitration or court and settle, because as a signer, I agree with the union that 15 minutes was not special pay, it's straight pay. So I hope that explains it.
So what, if I may,
yes.
Chair Hansett, can you speak to the level of urgency in dealing with this, considering that we have some confusion as to why we're being asked to reclassify it as ARPA funds or have the funds come from ARPA?
Don't know about that.
But in terms of the urgency.
But this is money that they earned. Everybody else that had a collective bargaining agreement already settled and got their pay. Each union had a separate amount of money. I think holding it is a disservice to the men and women that work at that position. Even now, they're still working 3 days in a row of mandatory overtime. I think this is money that they're due.
Can I just ask?
Yes.
Because this is what's confusing. This is classifying it as premium pay.
It's straight pay.
Well, it's saying premium pay. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either, but it's not overtime.
So, do you know where this resolution came from? The impetus for, like.
So, this was going to court, and they decided to settle it. There's three signers to the contract: the sheriff, the county, and the union. And they settled and the county attorney's office made the settlement offer, which was the $50,000, not what they were asking for their COVID pay.
I think I appreciate what you're saying. I mean, one, I would want to understand premium, and two, I'd want to understand the sponsorship, because normally when something's generated from the executive office, it would be the chair and vice chair of this committee as sponsors. So the fact that it started with legislators Maloney and Petit, what I'm wondering is this exactly related to the contract and the settlement? Can someone from the executive's office?
I'm asking, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
so what the county did, and that's a great point, but what the county did was they decided that COVID pay was gonna be separate from the collective bargaining agreement and the contract. However, it happened at the same time, so it really was part of the contract. They can say what they want. I'm a signer of the contract, and I've been in the unions for a long time. And I disagree with the county's assessment at the time when it came, because they didn't specifically state that 15 minutes was overtime. That was the hiccup in the settlement. And we're not talking about a lot of money here. And I don't know where it's coming from. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to speak on behalf of the men and women at Corrections who worked through COVID and deserve their pay.
Right. Yeah.
Chair.
If I may. Again, like the questions I have, and following on Deputy Majority Leader Uchitel's questions, are what does premium mean? Is it straight pay? Is it something else? Two, why don't we have a specific number? I mean, we're talking about pay that's retroactive. This is saying not to exceed $50,000. Someone must have the actual number.
They actually put the numbers together on everybody that worked.
Right.
Depending on how many hours you worked during that time period.
I'm hearing you, but I'm saying that number exists. Someone knows what that number is.
Yes.
We don't need a not to exceed $50,000 authorizing $50,000. Someone should tell us what the exact number is.
I can forward you. I think the exact number is $50,000. I can forward you how they calculated that.
Okay, that would be helpful. And then also get back to the ARPA. I don't know. I would advocate for it not being ARPA. If everything checks out, I would advocate for it not being ARPA.
So we just found out that it's Legislator Petit that requested the amendments. It did come from her.
So like under sorry.
I know.
Yeah,
I don't know why, and she didn't.
And where is the contract part of the backup? Have we seen the contract that the sheriff's referring to?
And if I may,
yeah.
Just to build on Chairwoman Bartel's comments, if this is pursuant to a settlement that wasn't available at the time this resolution was initially presented, I wonder if this resolution is even the right thing. I mean, if there's, well, first of all, if the settlement is not to exceed $50,000, you probably don't need to send it through the legislature. They could just execute it. And
that was my understanding, and that.
So, like, why would, now if this resolution is holding this up, this resolution was submitted before there was a settlement, so are we just gumming up the works by getting involved, and
yes.
Would it be better for the executive branch to simply settle this and get folks their fair pay?
But we need it for ARPA.
ARPA, we have disagreement as to whether it should come from ARPA. It doesn't sound like there's any desire from the executive branch, be it the sheriff's office or the county executive's department, that it come from ARPA. So I'm very confused by this and very concerned that we're gumming up the works of getting our employees' pay resolved in a quick way. So I'm a bit frustrated.
So I think what happened is, I think that it was ready to go forward and then litigation got involved, and that's why it has been stalling. So we will get answers to all those questions. Sheriff, you had said that it should be straight pay and not premium pay?
I don't know what they mean by premium.
Yeah, I don't know. That was one of the changes that just went in, and I don't know why, so.
I don't know either. All I know is that it's straight pay. That they work 8 hours and 15 minutes.
Okay.
That's what they work. They don't get paid overtime for that. That's straight pay.
All right.
And that 15 minutes was not utilized to formulate the numbers that come up for the COVID pay.
Okay. So, with all those questions that we now have, I am going to work very hard and get all those answers so that we can move this forward properly and that they can get paid. Unfortunately, I think we need to postpone it till August.
I do too.
But we will have all those answers. I will ask that the sponsors be here, I will ask that the county execs would give us input on it as well.
For sure.
So.
Can I just
yes.
add to that? If,
yeah.
If it's appropriate, I mean, my personal feeling is if it would be appropriate for the county executive's office and the sheriff's office to resolve this with our employees without legislative blockers that are being proposed, I would be comfortable with that if it truly doesn't exceed $50,000.
I agree with that too.
Yeah,
they've been waiting for a while.
Yeah, I'd like to get this sorted out, and us trying to be clever with where it's coming from, I worry is if it could just get resolved, let's
yes.
just get it resolved.
Sheriff, can you get us that number?
I might have it emailed.
Thank you.
Thank
you. So. Okay. Any other discussion?
So do we need a motion to postpone?
Yes. So,
So I'll make a motion to postpone.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, so we're going to postpone this to Marco. Thank you for that discussion. Okay. Resolution number 309, placing a spending cap of X amount of dollars on all costs related to the proposed government operations center at Paradise Lane in New Paltz. Is there any discussion?
Okay, there you go. I've been having discussions recently about the approach to such a large building and having everything be bomb-proof in a whole facility that's going to probably run over the expenses, which is why this resolution has come up. And so I'm not sure of the channels or who to have conversations with, but it might be better to be more resilient over time to disperse these services throughout the county with a really good call center. So I just want to mention that this resolution is coming up because we're all concerned about going over budget.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be better solutions. Thank you.
I'll respond to that and say a lot of these are requirements that are provided by the emergency services kind of regulations that we're adhering to for these types of facilities that are housing a lot of sensitive information, most of which is grant funded from the very same organizations that mandate the types of protections that they need. So a lot of it is not an option for us to scale back in terms of how hardened the facility is. I am curious if we've, just to pursuant to this specific matter before us, is there an amount that we have, or are we still waiting on that? It seems like we're still waiting on that, and I would make a motion to postpone until we have something that's we're intended to act on, which it
yes.
seems like we're not at this point.
Okay.
Yeah,
Chair?
I was just going to say that, and we'll have a similar conversation, although, expanded for the next one. But
mm-hmm.
to answer that question, I don't think we have the number yet.
Right.
They're not going to necessarily be the same numbers, these two resolutions, and I think that the two resolutions, they are distinct and they could be complementary. I certainly appreciate the sponsor, Legislator Stewart, opening up the conversation, and I think it really does reflect on the concern about how do we keep a project in and on budget moving forward, and wanting to start that conversation early rather than playing catch up later. And so that's about, this is one way, it's a novel way of approaching it, recognizing also that ultimately the legislature has the spending power. So even if we passed a cap, we could exceed that cap simply by passing a resolution authorizing more spending, which is what we do on an annualized basis with passing a budget. Very often we will set a limit on something, and just by passing the annual budget,
mm-hmm.
we exceed or step outside of those parameters. It's jumping ahead for one second. I don't think that we've had, from my perspective, for the next one with the executive's office, I haven't yet gotten a final number, which I'll discuss when we get to the next resolution, of something that's workable. But I also think for both resolutions, it's pretty important that the legislature have this kind of open conversation about, one, do we want to even, do we want to set a cap, which sends a message really to the executive side of the house saying, this is what theoretically we're willing to spend, and that means you'll have to back out of that versus sending, you know, over the project as it's proposed with all the requirements and also all of the, you know, the, I don't want to call it a wish list, but you know, that the high, you know, the highest standards of everything. I have a feeling that a postponement's probably in order for this month on this one, but I do think we need to figure out the setting for that.
So actually the sponsor just walked in. Legislator Stewart, we're talking about Resolution 309. Is there anything that you would like to add at this point?
Basically, I put this forward to start a conversation.
Right.
I had extensive conversations with Chair Montels about this, and you know, I just foresaw spending on this particular facility as potentially spinning out of control, and I wanted to avoid a situation like we had with the law enforcement center. And I felt that, you know, this was one way of at least having this conversation and bringing it forward and trying to figure out some way to, you know, keep costs under control. And I deliberately left it as rather vague and didn't put out any numbers myself because I didn't feel like I had the expertise to even come up with those figures, but I wanted to leave it to people who are, you know, more familiar with those aspects, and maybe have the relevant committees plug in what they thought would be the appropriate, you know, numbers. So that was my thinking. I'd like to say it was basically just to start a conversation.
Thank you. And I think that overall, since the beginning, we have had a lot of conversation. I wasn't here when the jail conversation went on, but I think we've all been very open about it and talking about it and hashing things out, even the purchase of the land. Like, we hashed that out. Like, we have had the conversation, which I think is great. Anything from your end?
Not at this time.
Okay. Director Erickson?
No, nothing.
Okay. Chair?
I mean, I think to follow on Legislator Stewart's comments, I mean, I think one thing that might be in order is to schedule a time with the executive and the executive departments to talk about if there is value engineering that's going on. I know there was discussion about that. If there are changes to what's proposed in order to bring the cost down, what actually is happening in this moment to address concerns that have come from the legislature.
Yes.
About the cost and about containing those costs.
Mm-hmm.
So because I know that those conversations were started on that side of the house, but I don't know.
Yes.
I haven't gotten an update.
Nothing's
and this
been
would
forward.
Be the place to really begin that.
Director,
I can confirm that has been going on through the entire process of schematic design moving into D&D.
Mm-hmm.
The file engineering of specifics, you know, you get into that happens during D&D. We're coming out of schematic design to D&D, but we are looking at and seeing what cuts can be made as we come out of schematic design going into D&D.
Can you just D&D
so I figured design
development.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So is there going to? I mean, will there be an update about that kind of value and the changes that we may have seen versus what we saw in the original budget?
Yeah, I don't know when that would occur. I'd have to have that conversation with Chris Kelly.
Okay.
I will reach out to
him as
well.
I can confirm that what you have asked us to do has been ongoing through S&D to D&D.
Okay. Because, yeah, that would be really valuable. And it would inform Legislator Stewart's, the conversation that Legislator Stewart has started with this. I mean, for us to really understand what numbers we think we're looking at now, and what changes, if any, have been made. I mean, there are a lot of specific conversations that were happening, but I feel like having them in one place might be a smart idea at this point.
And I have reached out to Kenny Kelly on these issues, and I know that they're working on him, and I know that he was on vacation, and so hopefully for next month we can have something as well.
Chair Bartels, I'm wondering, as someone who saw the cost overruns, what advice do you have for younger legislators? What can we learn from those mistakes?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that strikes me the most, just based on my experience, I came into the legislature, the jail was, the construction was already underway.
Me too.
And cost overruns were already happening, albeit up to a certain point behind closed doors, the legislature wasn't aware. I would say that the most important thing, and that's a lot of, I think, the impetus behind Legislator Stewart's resolution, the most important thing is to have the conversations now, because once the proverbial train leaves the station, it's death by a thousand cuts. You know, every change order, it's like, well, we're already this far. Oh, we're already this, you know, we've already come this far. We've already done this. And it just adds up. And it happened very quickly. There were, you know, I assume that we'll have different protections in place in terms of project management. But we were paying a project manager for the jail project. A lot of money here, paying a project manager.
I do hope that we have learned and come far from that now.
Yeah.
You know.
We must have not been around much, because
they were on site every day. I mean, I'm not going to name them. They're a very giant company. So
that was a complete joke. I first came here in 2005, and it was disastrous. We've never seen anything like it.
Okay. Any other discussion? So is there a motion to postpone?
I'll second it.
Fabiana, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? So we're going to postpone 5-0. Okay, the next resolution is 364, establishing a restricted capital reserve fund for the Government Operations Center of the County of Ulster under Section 6C of the New York State General Municipal Law. Any discussion?
So, if I may, just to explain a bit of the difference, I will be asking for a postponement because, to the earlier point, I have a number in here, but I think it bears a little further discussion with the executive office. But to explain the distinction between this and the previous resolution, and also the impetus behind it. So, a capital reserve fund in this county, for a long time we were told that we had a capital reserve fund, but we didn't have a bona fide capital reserve fund. It's something that's set up via state statute, and it has very specific requirements. And once created, the monies can only be used for, in this case, the specific project that we're talking about. There are ways to set it up as a general fund. My thinking behind this has largely to do with the cost. Amber ran the numbers on the estimated budget and the associated debt service fee with the associated budget, which alone, I don't have that number in front of me right now, might actually be in the resolution, but alone, if all things remained equal, that number would be greater than the tax cap. It would be a 3-point-something% increase in the annual budget. We all know that we have extensive funds in our unallocated, unrestricted fund balance right now. And this is one way, I think, that we can have some sense of assurance in terms of how we pay for the project. We can expect that the project's going to cost, a significant amount of funds, and to pay cash, to utilize the cash for that, I think is a responsible approach. And again, it's separate. It doesn't set a cap. Whatever number that we decide on, if we pick a different number, whether and it ends up being too little for the project, it doesn't stop the project from going forward. It simply sets up the means for paying for the project to the extent of the dollar that we allocate. If we end up spending less than we put in the fund, there's a method for rolling the fund over to another capital project or retiring the fund if necessary. But again, no one should be concerned that this at all restricts the project. In fact, I think it's in many ways, I think it's extremely supportive of the project, because it's saying we're going to pay for the project
right.
with cash, and we're not going to increase the cost through debt service.
Thank you for that explanation.
Take some questions if not. And also, just so this committee knows, the reason it didn't come to this committee in the first place is that because it was a financial question, it was in Ways and Means, but in speaking with the chair of the committee, I acknowledged that probably this committee had questions about it, and so was happy to bring it to this committee to answer those questions.
Thank you.
So I think this is a great thing. I wish that we would get this type of these types of recommendations from the executive branch, specifically from the folks that work in the finance department, because there's been a lot of conversation over the years about over the short few years that I've been here, there've been a lot of conversations about what should be financed and what should be paid with our reserves. We have legislators right now that are, you know, voting no on every bond to, you know, every bond resolution because there is not a clear policy on what should be bonded and what should be paid with our cash reserves. And I would love for there to be a policy that we apply there. And the policy might be for large capital projects like this to have this type of fund established. That might be the policy. And for small things like bridges and culverts, we continue to bond. Like maybe this is working in that direction, but it feels like we're doing it kind of piecemeal right now. But I agree with Chair Bartel's characterization that this ensures that we have the resources and it can take a big bite out of our debt service. My concern, and I think the reason why it's very pertinent to this committee, is that there are funding mechanisms for this type of project because of the nature of the project having to do with public safety, where there are revenues. My understanding is there are revenues that are generated through the 911 call center, through different calculations in state and federal reimbursements. Some of those might have been used for this and can be used for other things. If they're not used for this, depending on the amount that we arrive at for the cash set aside for this in the capital fund, that might mean that more or less of those funds are used for this, which means those funds, which can only be used for certain things, might be less available for other public safety initiatives that we might have. And that's the conversation I think that's fundamental to arriving at a number here, and the reason why I think it's pertinent to this committee.
Yeah, and I think that conversation is the one that I expect feedback from the executive side of the house in terms of where there might be those limitations might exist and how they might affect that number, so that we're coming at it from a place of the full scope of the knowledge. I mean, I could say that I would not be bringing this. I feel like we're in a unique place and time right now with the size of our unrestricted reserve fund right now. We're outside of our newly passed policy, and it's just a unique moment in time. I also think it's worth pointing out, and this committee knows better than any other committee, the legislators in this committee know better than any other legislators, that in terms of ARPA funds and what ARPA and federal and the federal incentives we're allowed to and meant to address, we haven't really addressed emergency services at all with our ARPA funds, and we've been doing a lot of great work through ARPA. And while this isn't ARPA funds, largely these excesses came out of incentives given to the fact that people were home, right? And incentives were given to individuals, and spending was local, and all the things that we saw as a result of COVID. Which is again why I feel like it's responsible to spend some of this excess on this important project and ensuring that we're not beginning necessarily so stressed in terms of the expenditure. Because again, the debt service, when we think about this, and we're talking, as Legislator Hewitt said earlier, you know, about the potential of cost overruns, things that are always on our mind. You know, when we're talking about eventually facing those pressures, which would happen next year and as we and the following as we get into construction, having a commitment to pay for a significant portion with cash might help alleviate some of that pressure.
Anything from County Executive's Office? I know that, I'm sorry, but I just have to ask.
No, I'm taking very detailed notes.
Okay.
Now, so.
So
I would ask for a postponement
okay.
for a month because it's I'd want to have the conversation that Deputy Majority Leader Uchitel said in terms of the specifics of the number rather than, and I'm always supportive of not moving things forward to get stopped at Ways and Means for more information. Like the fact that it's here now, I want it to, every committee where it is, I'd like the committee to have the information
mm-hmm.
before moving on it.
Anything, Director Erickson?
I don't have anything.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to postpone 1 month.
Okay. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, very good. Got a lot of work next month, huh?
Yeah, right.
This one should be fairly simple here. Resolution number 376, confirming reappointment of member to the Traffic Safety Board. Is there any discussion? I know it's Chief Lucchese, which is the police chief in New Paltz, and this would be until 6/20/2026. Is there a motion to adopt?
I'll move it.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Very good. Resolution number 387, amending the 2023 Ulster County budget to revise compensation of a current part-time investigator position to a full-time investigator position from the district attorney's office. And we have Investigator Eric Paulding is here to discuss this position with the committee. Welcome.
Hello, everyone. So my name is Eric Paulding. I've been a lifelong resident of Ulster County.
The handouts are out, right?
I started my career back in 1999 in law enforcement, so I worked for the Sheriff's Department of Corrections. I then joined Kingston Police Department for 22 years. I am a detective, and now I've been with the DA's office as an investigator for the past 9 years. My duties at the DA's office is to assist with ADAs and further prosecutions, assist local police departments with their investigations of major crimes and even sometimes not major crimes. And also expeditions, service, security services, and everything like that. Back in 2017, Bill Weishoff, who's the chief investigator at the DA's office, came to me and wanted to start an action reconstruction unit. And I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Wanted to start an action reconstruction unit. So the reason why he did it was because at that time, New York State Police only covered, they covered six counties from Rockland County all the way up to Greene County, obviously including Ulster County. So they were able to work. They were a three-person team. They had two, three part-timers. So the paperwork and the analysis were taking a long time to get in for the prosecution purposes. So they wanted to start our own county-wide team, which it consists of 12 members from various agencies throughout the whole county, Sergeant East, Kingston, Town of Ulster, Sheriff's Department, New Paltz, us, and actually Woodstock as well. So we expanded the team since then because I was trying to get multiple people throughout the county so if an accident happens, we can get there rather quickly, as opposed to the times of like anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 to 3 hours for, you know, another agency like State Police calling the members in. So went to school, got that all in 2019, we finally set up and got running after we purchased our equipment. And which is a Faro 3D laser scanner and all the software that goes with it. So obviously 2020 comes, COVID hits. We had a lot of people from New York City coming up 2021. We had an influx of residents, cars, pedestrians, bicyclists, and everything like that. And I know in this day and age, you know, the fatalities for pedestrians and bicyclists become a big thing, especially here in the city of Kingston and Ulster County. So one of the things also came in 2020 was when the New York State Legislature passed the discovery rules, the laws where they, you know, you have a certain amount of time to turn over all your discoveries again, which put a big hard hit on law enforcement to get a timely amount of things because, you know, when you're doing like crime scene reconstruction, which we do, and action reconstruction, it takes a lot of time to do that. So, and unfortunately, like the state police, you know, with all their counties that are covering, they were getting bogged down a lot. So what we did was, because it takes so much time, we formed a team to try to get out to alleviate the pressure from the state police. That way we can have a timely analysis of the accident scenes or crime scenes for the prosecution purposes and everything like that. So obviously, during that, like I said, we also had a big increase in shootings in the city of Kingston. You know, a lot of crime was happening and stuff like that. So that even put more of a hamper on timeliness and getting the early discovery out. So since that, the reason why I'm here is because there's so much going on. Like even with the DA's office and my other duties that I have there. So I have an office there and I have an office over at the IT building where the crash office is. So my partner Steve Buffard is typically over at the DA's office, and I'll bang back and forth. Like if Steve is off, I'll go to the DA's office just to cover his spot because we deal with questions from DAs, we take phone calls all the time. Steve's there, then I pretty much go over to my office and I handle my business over there with the action reconstruction and going after different accident scenes and things like that. So also part of this is there's so much training that is involved. Keeping the members up, it's always, you know, the computer world and everything like that, and the new things that come out with technologies. So I try to keep a good training schedule up with all the members on the team. So it's a lot of work. And I know, like right now, even with Liz Camoni, which I'm sure a lot of you know, I'm the lead investigator for the King homicide with her trials going in September. So there's a lot of work that goes into this, a lot of time is taken. So, and that's the reason why I'm here to explain why I believe that my position should go to a full-time position based on everything that we do and I do and so forth.
So just thank you for the explanation, but let me first ask a question and then I have a couple comments and questions. So this is actually your position.
Yes, I'm a part-time.
You're a
part-time.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So and this is really probably for the district attorney. This came before the legislature back in February, right? The same position, and at that time you were advocating for the position to be moved from a part-time to a full-time, although it was a lesser, it was like in the $56,000 range, now $58,000 range. And the explanation at that time had to do with security at the new facility, so it no longer has to do with security.
It does, in part.
Okay, so, and the other, I didn't hear anything about security and really what was just discussed, but then my question is, at the time we discussed an alternative work schedule, did you implement an alternative work schedule?
Yes.
So currently, are you? Does that mean the position currently is working full-time hours?
That's correct.
So why is this coming before us now rather than during the budget? Why not implement the alternative work schedule through the end of the year, and then when it comes to budget time, we'll have the conversation?
Well, I believe we'll have enough funds to do the alternative work schedule, but I think it's appropriate for him to have a full-time position and to have it recognized. It's not going to be something that's going to cost the county anymore because we have four positions that weren't filled for the first 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
We have two positions that are not going to get filled for the balance of the year. So we have more than enough funds, and so it's not going to cost the county anything. I think it's appropriate for him to have a full-time position.
So, if you'd like, Amber can speak also on this resolution, on the financial piece of it.
Yeah, so the resolution has been amended as it's presented before you to correct the accounting for the position. So because it's a part-time position that currently exists and is in the adopted budget, it's being moved to a full-time position, being accounted for within the regular pay, and then the benefits being adjusted to add the retirement and health insurance, and then just adjust the Social Security upward, and the attrition savings in the regular pay line are being used to pay for the increase to the position's regular pay.
So, yeah, again, I mean, for me, we've always been reluctant, the legislature, in dealing with change, these kinds of changes mid-cycle. You know, there are things that are normally handled at the budget, and many departments use alternative work schedules. So this is essentially basically a repeat of the February request. Just the difference is, if I'm understanding correctly, that between February and now, an alternative work schedule has been implemented, so the position currently is currently,
yes,
and being paid full time, just asking for a budget change in advance of the budget, which is just not something that normally we do. I don't know.
And I just wanted to add, the security issues that we talked about before are still present, so that we have an evaluation of our new headquarters, and they're not safe, and they're accessible from the exterior of the building. And what we do, and because, you know, there was a concern that we're going to have some kind of security force in there, of course nothing has ever happened with respect to that, but we have investigators who are armed, and he's one of them, who can be present in the building if there's a problem. Gina came over and we discussed. Sometimes we have witnesses, sometimes we have victims, sometimes we have people coming in that could be out of control, and it's nice to have somebody there who has that kind of experience.
So there's definitely things that I would want to say about the security issue, but that I do not want to say in a public meeting. If we're going to talk about the security issues, I would want to go into executive session to discuss, because I don't think it's appropriate or right to be I don't want to say anymore. I don't think it's appropriate to be discussing security in a public forum.
I would just say, since I don't think security is the primary factor here, nor is it the factor that we would decide to move forward with this or not move forward with this, I would just ask that conversation, my personal feeling is it happened not here. And on this, you know, what I see is an opportunity to make a position full time. For a role that we find is very important, and I will say that the urgency that I feel around addressing traffic violence is increasing every month. It has increased since February. It has increased since we did the budget in December, and I see a case to be made for making the decision now to make it a full-time position around, you know, around the accident reconstruction, and as in our efforts to not just allocate the hours, but to actually be serious and allocate the permanent position to addressing traffic violence. The other thing I see as another reason why we would want to move forward, why we might want to move forward with this now as opposed to waiting for the budget, is because you know, when we have employees that are being pushed, and maybe we do this very widespread and it should be addressed in a more broad way, but when we have employees that are being pushed beyond their, you know, the limits through alternative work schedules, you know, we have issues with retention. We have issues with, we have a need to send a message to our workforce that we value them, that we value their longevity, and that we're behind them. And, you know, if this has no financial impact and you know, serves in many ways to send that message of permanence around someone's role, specifically a role that is increasing in importance, I could see a case to be made for moving forward with that, even though I see the issues and there's the history around having moved, you know, investigator positions from part-time to full-time in the past. So those are, you know, for me, that's the basis for making this decision.
Okay.
I agree with the legislator. Like I said, there's not going to be no really cost between now and budget time for this to take place. I feel there's an urgency for this position to be full-time. I believe there's an exception to every rule, and I think that should be taken in consideration at that time And I would encourage this committee to move forward with this here today at this meeting.
So, again, in terms of the urgency, it's right now being utilized as a full-time position. I appreciate the messaging, that being something that's valuable for an important employee. That said, I think it's a little dangerous to think of it as having no financial impact when you're talking about vacancies. It has no financial impact if you're going to remove the vacancies, you're going to remove those positions. The minute they get filled, it has legacy costs. And I'm not saying that we don't want to make it a full-time position, but I think it's not accurate to think in terms of it having no cost, because the minute those vacancies get filled, it has a legacy cost, which is something that we may want to do, but that's a budget time conversation. That's mm-hmm. when you have a holistic conversation about what we as the legislature are deciding to approve, and what department heads, especially the duly electeds like the DA, are bringing forward in terms of what they'd like to see moving forward in their departments. I would advocate that we wait until budget time to make the approval permanent, that we look at it as a holistic move, and acknowledge that currently the position is being paid full time and working full time hours through an alternative work schedule.
Yes? I agree with Chair Bartels, because if it's not going to hurt an important employee, we shouldn't set a precedent by having part-time go to full-time mid-year.
I know that for this investigator, I know it's a lot of schooling. He's gone to many different... if you wanted to speak about that for a moment, you had spoken to me earlier about it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I started the schooling back in 2017, and it's very extensive. You know, you go through four courses through GCGS, and then a two-week IBTM, which is a training facility out of Florida, and then multiple pedestrian, bicyclists, motorcycle, vehicle crashes, and, you know, there's one, two, there's kinematics, where the body moves, and, you know, commercial, the list could go on. You know, and one of the things that I was doing was, and I spoke to Everett about it last week, was I was supposed to meet with the school administrators from the county and go in there, and like I said before, we utilize the Faro laser scanner. It's a 3D laser scanner. And what I would do is I actually show a little presentation to Gina, and I would go in and scan the schools for security purposes and stuff like that, where they can create a safety plan.
So
I know that's what Everett and Lieutenant Sudo have been trying to do with the school systems, where I can go in and scan it. It's real time, where obviously if something bad's going on, so say God forbid an active shooter, say a fire, a bomb threat, you know, it's happening all the time. I can go in, and then the first responders are going to be the ones that get to obviously first, right? You have your SWAT teams and your issue teams that come a little bit later on and try to do what they do. But for the first responders to get there, it could actually be live feed to them on their computers in the car. You would go in. They could be talking to someone at the sheriff's bar, someone at 911 could be talking to them, saying, this person, I'm being told, is in room 208. It's a detailed scan that I get. Well, they could all have it, and they could see it. It's actually, like I said, you do an overview, you can take the roof off, you can look down it, draw a path, or I even do a fly-through of the building. So, for me, this it does. It takes a lot of time. I get called out in the middle of the night. I don't get paid for that. So, I don't get overtime back. So when I get pulled out and do that sort of stuff, it's, you know, some of that goes in the back burner. Just to be honest with you, I'll take work home, because like working with Liz and also getting called out at time, it puts a lot of, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on where I do extra work. So.
Sure.
Yeah, I just want to, two things. One, thank you for all the work you do in your service. And my concern about this is more, you know, a technical concern related to budget. But I certainly thank you for all your work. You don't get paid to get, you get called out in the middle of the night and you don't get paid. That's a little confusing to me in county work.
So typically what would happen, I would take that time and either store it and then maybe take a day off with it. So so there's no, I don't get, you know,
like comp time?
That's like comp time.
Yeah,
so it's,
right,
comp
it's straight,
time.
It's straight, yeah, straight comp.
Straight comp time, yeah. I know what that is, yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, but it, but it, but you are, so you, you ultimately get paid, but you're not getting paid overtime for it, you're saying.
I think regardless of what we do, we should do the amendment so that it's,
yes,
it's financially
happy,
reflected,
yeah,
as per our guidance from our financial analysts. So I am going to, I move to amend the resolution as presented.
I'll second it.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Okay. So the resolution amendments have been adopted 5-0. So I'm going to call
on a resolution.
Amendment?
Well, on the amended resolution.
Yes. So is there a motion to adopt the resolution as
amended? I'll move it to adopt it.
Okay. Second?
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone opposed?
Opposed.
Okay, so it passed 4-0.
4-1.
4-1,
I'm sorry. Okay, thank you. And on that real quick, I just want to mention about that security piece.
This? Oh,
no, the sheriff left, but I wanted to see if they did that security assessment, and we will talk more about that. So I will.
We had one done by the Kingston City Police Department.
Okay. All right. So, and maybe we can talk about that. Okay.
Sure.
All right. Resolution number 388. Authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services for participation in Project GIVE. So that's the District Attorney's Office, the Sheriff's Office, and Probation. Is there any discussion from any of those entities?
We've had been GIVE, I don't know how many years, but we did get some more money this year.
Okay. Did you get an award letter?
We did get an award letter. We actually, just, in grants management system, there's the amended contract, which actually just came through. I think the award letter I sent up to, I know the county exec.
Okay, so if you could forward it to us as well. That would be great.
I don't know if each department got a separate award letter. I'll have to look.
So you're saying, like, just maybe it just came to you and not to the district attorney's office and the sheriff's office?
Well, we each got a different amount.
Right.
So, I mean, I know for probation, ours was $100,001.
Okay.
That's where the $1 came out.
So the award letter, would it go to all three or just to you? And then you... So if you could find out,
yeah,
and get
out.
Back to,
sure.
If you could get back to me on that, that would be great. So,
I think it is different award letters.
So just to give you a little background, GIVE is their attempt to reduce gun violence, and so we're partnering with the Kingston City Police. We have a GIVE zone, which is mainly Kingston, and so they keep statistics and they monitor it. The good news is that violent crimes and shootings have gone way down since 2022. You know, we're having a lot of good results from it. The money, and I will tell you, I was just at a conference where we had representatives from the governor's office, and the good news is that the governor is going to put a lot more money into things like discovery grants and district attorney's offices going into the future. They recognize the fact that retention and recruitment right now within the district attorney's office is at a very difficult point. They're going to supplement. We're supposed to get some kind of reporting in July at some point about what their intentions are, but they're promising that every year for the next 5 years, and so that we can advise the legislature that it's going to continue for 5 years at least, that we're going to get additional funding for all of those needs. And obviously this is an important thing, that the money comes to the county, but it helps us, and we identify a GIVE DA position, which focuses on guns and violent crime.
Very good. Chair?
When you identify that position, are you anticipating it's going to be a new position or someone who's currently in?
We've had this in place for a long time, so
okay.
That position has always been filled. It's now identified with a person who's been hired within the
primarily been used for IPVI, the Intimate Partner Violence mm-hmm. Initiative. So most of our money funds, we have two probation officers that have the IPVI caseload
okay.
Of domestic violence offenders. And the additional money we put towards doing training for moral recognition therapy. We want to have two more officers trained to do that with the GIV for the IPVI population.
Very good. So I'm just going to reach out, and I'll reach out to the sheriff as well. If we could get a copy of those letters before Ways and Means meeting, that would be great.
Send it directly to you.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
So is there a motion to adopt?
Move to adopt.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Resolution is approved 4-0. Wait, 5. resolution number 389, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $299,998.60 entered into by the county Motorola Solutions, Inc., Department of Emergency Management. Director?
This goes along with last month's resolution with Capital Project 482.
Right.
This right here is the actual contract amendment. So this is for the upgrades to the radio tower area at Golden Hill, along with our 911 phone system.
Okay.
I know it was asked last month as well, the tower location, all that there, like that tower's going to stay there. That's part of our radio system. It's not moving anywhere as we build out the new radio system and as we relocate the 911 center. That tower will stay there. So, again, it also includes the 911 phone system that needs to be updated.
Yes.
So.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Director, when we reviewed the resolution, we could not find amendment number 1. So, if you could possibly find that and forward that at when you have time. Okay, is there a motion to adopt?
I'll move it.
Second?
Can I just ask?
Yes, I'm sorry.
You said there was no amendment. Do we know what amendment number 1 was?
So amendment number 1, I have to go back and look exactly what it was. So
contract amendment.
Contract amendment.
Yeah, not a resolution.
Is
amendment.
It?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This one's amendment number 2.
Two.
Okay. So when you say there was no amendment number 1, you mean in terms of the backup?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So if you could just forward that.
Thank you.
So is there a motion to adopt?
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Okay. Motion is adopted 5-0. Very good. New business? Does anyone have any new business?
Yes, sure if it's falling, but I know Chris Kelly had asked you about crime victims coming to speak, so I don't know if that falls to your new business.
So I did reach out to Chris, and he never got back to me, unfortunately. So I don't know if you are prepared for today or if we want to do this in August.
August is fine.
Okay. Yeah, I think it just got. Yeah, we did try. No, it's okay. It's okay. We did discuss about it. So in August, if you want to introduce yourself and tell us what you're going to talk about in August. Business. All right, and with that said, may I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
Second?
Third.
This meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody.